Let's lift up our hands and bless his name. Bless his name. Wave your hands from side to side to Jesus, the one who sits upon the throne. Go ahead and bless him. Bless him in the spirit. Bless him with your understanding. He is why we are here. He is why we remain. Worship him. Call him everything you know him to be. Savior, deliverer, lifter, helper.
For he is God and God alone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For you are God and God alone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Searched all over, couldn't find no one. I looked high and low, still couldn't find no one. Searched all over, couldn't find no one. I looked high and low, still couldn't find no one. I searched all over, couldn't find nobody. Look high and low.
The Lord's, the fullness thereof, the worlds and they that dwell therein, majesty. Father, we bless you for everything that is good in this house, for everything that is excellent in this house, for everything that glorifies Jesus in this house, we return glory. We are wise enough to know that except God be with a man, there are things we cannot do. Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a man sent from God, for no man can do these things except God be with him. And Lord, while the world in their honesty credit the achievements to us, may we remain ushers pointing them to you. May we be unashamed and vocal about letting the world know that without you there is nothing, absolutely nothing we can do. You are the force behind everything good in this house. You are the mystery behind the results that we so lavishly command. But Lord, let the world know that beyond our results, we love you. And that we are desperate for you, that we love you more than things. We love you more than positions. We love you more than ministry. We love you more than prayer. We love you more than Bible study. We love you more than church and religion. We love you more than spiritual titles. We love you more than heaven.
For you are God alone. From before time began, you are on your throne. You are God. You are God alone. From before. before time began. You are on your throne. You are God alone.
You are God alone.
You are God alone. From before time began. You are on your throne.
Thank you, Jesus. Tonight we have come as proof that we desperately desire your presence. Tonight we have come as proof that we trust you. Tonight we have come as proof that we remain hungry and intentional for knowledge, for growth, for transformation. We have come to honor the potency of your word, the ministry of your spirit. We have come to you, the rabbi of all the ages, the wisdom of God. We pray that the hallowed bread of the spirit be opened and served us tonight, that we may eat and indeed grow. Therefore, Lord, we declare that tonight there is the hearing of faith and even the working of miracles.
Amen.
That whilst your word comes tonight, and as you challenge us and expose us to the mysteries of the kingdom, let the sick not return sick.
Amen.
Let the oppressed not return oppressed.
Amen.
Let there be all kinds of manifestations of your grace, your love, and your power. And as always, we vow that you remain glorified, you remain lifted in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Please be seated. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And we thank God for strength as we travel from place to place. Just two very quick functions. The first, I thought to do that by myself and to do it even before the word, before we begin to teach the word. Like we announced, for a long time, many people have been waiting for us to open up doors for the workforce. There are several people who truly desire to serve in various capacities. We have allowed some time so that we can build, we can establish ourselves, and so that the current workers can get to understand the spirit and the ethics of the ministry. I think we have achieved that. So there are a few departments that are now open. I think three of them, as I have, there might be more, but at least three for now. The aesthetics department, those who are responsible for the stage and the beautification of the house, sanctuary keepers, and so on and so forth. They are particularly looking for those who are skilled and experienced in interior decor, exterior decor, and you have a passion for the house of God. It takes skill alongside a genuine heart for God to be effective as far as service is concerned in the house of God. So everyone who has been graced, gifted, and trained in this area, please do well to meet your representative at the PR desk. The PR desk is just after the main auditorium. Please do well to meet them after the service. Be a bit patient, and they'll be glad to meet with you and guide you on what else to do. Similarly, the technical and sound department is open for new members, those who manage our sound and light within this hall, all the halls, the overflows outside. All interested persons who are skilled can meet the representative at the PR desk also. The PR desk will also provide information on what else to do. And then third, I don't know if this is the last, but the medical department, our medical team are in need. You know that God has blessed us. We're a very large house, and we thank God for the skilled doctors, lab technicians, nurses, paramedics who have been very active, very, very zealous, and very sacrificial. But then they need more hands, And please, let's do well. If you are a doctor, you are a medical practitioner, or anything around the paramedic, you are more than welcome to be part of the department. You can meet us at the same PR desk. Please do well, officials. Let's be sure to make sure that there are people who can help separate these ones who will be going there. And then fourth, the security and transport department is also open. All who help to manage the logistics around security and transport, all interested persons can meet their representatives at the balcony. Now, the balcony by the right after the service. If you are confused, please find any usher or any official at all, and they will lead you to that location. The balcony at the right. And then number five, okay, we have a number now. Media and Productions Department, this one, let me add my voice to their plea, because we're building up, there is a greater vision for this, so we need a lot of professionals especially. So the Media and Productions Department, they are currently open for skilled people, those who professionals in the area of productions and anything related to mass communication. Please do well, and you can apply. Meet your representative at the balcony also, the balcony by the right. After service, here's what happens. After the grace, please let someone just be in there and indicate so that they can follow him. There's no point. This is a very large facility that has many areas, and I'm not sure many people will easily be able to locate this. So let there be an official who just stands waving his hands and indicating what department is leading them to, so that they can just follow him. Praise the name of the Lord. And then we're really honored tonight to have a very, very great man in our midst. Hallelujah. Amen. This is a house of honor, and this is a man who truly loves the Lord, but then he has come to symbolize authority in the area of faith and family. He's truly a voice that when you follow, he can lead you from anywhere to anywhere. I just thought we should honor him before we get to the word. Ladies and gentlemen, please be upstanding as we honor Pastor Kingsley Okonkwo. God bless you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You're welcome. God bless you. Please be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. If you have not listened to Pastor Kingsley, I think you should begin immediately. There is a lot to learn. His wisdom is profound. Yes, profound. Thank you, sir. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 15. We remain resolute in our commitment to feed God's people. He says, and I will give you pastors or shepherds according to my heart, which will feed you in knowledge and understanding. The primary assignment of a man of God is to ensure that believers who have been saved and have been planted in a spiritual family, that they are fed and taught the word of God. And the content of that word is doctrine. We have discussed it here. Doctrine is the course curriculum that makes for the growth of the believer. And week in, week out, we continue to explore different facets of the kingdom life, to the end that, number one, we get to know the Lord the more, then we understand his ways, then we obtain grace and help from God to represent him very effectively. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Tonight, I'll begin a teaching that I believe will end up as a series, because we may not be able to exhaust it tonight. And in an attempt to explain the things that happen around our society, You know, I have said this, and I thank God we have people here, politicians, business people, members of parliament. So I'm happy because every time we learn this, we are happy because we can take this. We can apply this, and then it helps not just towards kingdom advance, but also towards nation building. Any nation and any territory is a reflection of, number one, the health and the strength of the spiritual conviction of the people that live within that territory. Every territory is a reflection of the spiritual conviction, or otherwise, of the people that live within that territory, which invariably is a product or is a reflection of the quality of the spiritual voices that feed the people. So when you pick anyone in Abuja or any part of the world at all, at random, and engage the believers there, their level and extent of spiritual understanding is a report card that shows the quality of the shepherds within that territory. If there is a problem with the understanding of the average Christian, then the men and the women of God within that territory are to be blamed. That means there is an imbalance or there is error that is coming from the pulpit, because people are largely, they will act in honor to their convictions, which come from the propositions that come from the altar. So if we want to correct the living, what we see in our society, among other factors, we have to re-examine the kind, the extent, and the quality of spiritual information that comes from the pulpit. Effective living is a product of effective thinking. When people think wrong, they will live wrong. When they think right, they will live right. The Bible says, "These signs shall follow them that believe." That means anything following you is proof of what you believe. You don't, when you are tired of seeing what has been following you, you don't drive it away physically. Change what you believe. Everything that follows you comes in honor to something you are believing. If trouble is always following you, it may be empowered by demons, but principally, there is something about your understanding and your perspective and your approach to life that authorizes those ills to follow you. If favor, goodness, and mercies, if all these positive attributes are following you, there is something that your understanding is doing as far as making for their continuity around your life. Are we together? So our assignment principally is to expose us to what the Bible calls the ways of God. And let me tell you this, inasmuch as the curriculum that makes for our growth is finite, there is a vast body of knowledge, spiritual knowledge. We need to learn about who we are in Christ, the reality of our positional advantage, our oneness with Christ. We need to understand the economic system of the kingdom. This is what makes for the supplies and the provisions of the saints. We need to understand the fact that we live in a world that is plagued by demons, principalities, and powers. Jesus and scripture did not leave us in the dark as to the fact that we are not alone. There is another species of beings that cohabit with us. And whether we are prepared or not, they are interested in our affairs. And so he teaches us how to manage our living such that we live victorious in spite of Satan and his cohorts. Are we together? We need to learn principles that make for territorial dominion. I told you that the gospel is divided into two. There is the message that saves, then there is the ideology that transforms. If the only thing you receive is the message that saves, you are saved, but your territory may not be safe. S-A-F-E. It takes the ideology of the gospel, the value system of the kingdom, to permeate systems and structures so that now Christ and his purposes are institutionalized, not just in the hearts of men, but across every strata of human activities. This is the only way that Christ becomes enthroned, not just in our hearts, but in our environment. It's unfortunate, all over the world and even in our nation right now, we're in serious times of crisis, from economic crisis to high rates of crime, terrorism. I just returned from Zaria, And sadly and unfortunately, the north is beginning to be a reflection of something that we have prayed never to happen. Did you know that every one terrorist, every one troublemaker was once a baby in the hand of a woman? Is that true? Something transformed those individuals from babies to become now living like beasts. Every deliverer was once a baby in the hands of a woman, including Jesus in the flesh. That means when we see the decadence in society, the decadence in society is a reflection of something that is wrong. And please just allow me to express my passion for a few minutes. Trying to solve societal problems by just coming up with corrective measures, as it were, will not ultimately achieve that goal. Is that true? Thank God for the prison cells. Thank God for the police. Thank God for the military. But fundamentally, you need to understand that the things that continue to plague society historically is proof that something fundamentally is wrong with the value system of the people. Generally speaking, we live in honor to and of our convictions. Whatever you believe, eventually you will live it out. Is that true? When you meet a terrorist now and interview him, he will give you an interesting perspective about life. His perspective and his conviction is what motivates his passion to cause mayhem and destruction. And even at the detriment of the advancement of his society, he believes he's doing right. If you meet a good man who is blessing people, lifting people, educating people, behind what he's doing, there is a value system. There is a conviction. Is that true? That means we have to be careful. We have to carefully fashion and design the value systems that we communicate. Because value systems are dangerous. People will live in honor of and to those value systems. When people reject God in mass, there must be a poisonous information that is being sold that makes God look like a nuisance to civilization. When revival breaks out, in as much as it's the power of God, healing, signs and wonders, but let me tell you, there is something that must have been done right, and people embrace the value. They see the importance and the value of Jesus Christ. When you live in a society that is lawless, a society that does not honor the rule of law, a society that is careless and does not care, people live very irresponsible lives, is a reflection of a faulty value system. I always like to understand the motivation behind things more than the actions. You really solve problems when you dig into the motivation behind things. When you address symptoms, symptoms do not provide effective solutions. You have to move past the symptoms and then address the solutions. When you see someone, for instance, please look up. You see someone walking in failure, living a defeated life, trying to address the problem, the obvious problem, may not bring the final solution. When you dig in and dig in and dig in, eventually you will find out that there is a spiritual problem with that person. Maybe he has rejected Jesus. Maybe he has refused the gospel. Now, for someone who has refused the gospel, the probability for a life of defeat is 100%, regardless how successful that person is. Anything can happen because there is no system of security. It is only the name of the Lord that is a strong tower, and it is only the righteous that is allowed to run to it. Not anybody. Not God's creation. That door does not just open. His name becomes a strong tower when you are the righteous. You run into it and you are safe. Hallelujah. So I thought tonight to begin an exposition on what I titled the Antichrist system. Now, it's going to be a series, but I'll give them different topics. But I just thought tonight to open us up to this mystery Babylon, this godless system that is the software that is behind the ills in our world. It's important to understand that men have been programmed, institutions have been programmed, and we must carefully detect that spiritual software that is at the back of the decadence of families, of territories, of institutions, of lives, and so on and so forth. Are we in agreement? Praise the name of the Lord. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15. Thank you, Jesus. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15. The Bible says, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." So I begin my teaching with the end of the story, that whether we like it or not, one day this prophecy will happen. That a day will come, regardless the arrogance of kings, regardless the pride of men, the power and the might of Jesus, the one who we have so hailed, will compel this world that is a part of his creation to come into alignment, and the kingdoms of this world must become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever, he shall reign forever, he shall reign forever and ever, he shall reign forever, he shall reign forever, he shall reign forever. As it is now, there's still confusion all across the world. Who is really Lord? There are nations that are fighting for supremacy. The world powers fighting themselves. But the Bible tells us in Psalm 24 and verse 1, the earth is the Lord's. The resource is there. It's called the fullness. Then the walls and the inhabitants, they that dwell therein, they all belong to him. One more scripture, please. Third John chapter 1 and verse 2. Please just follow carefully. Let's read together if you can see it projected. Ready? One, two, read, please. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. I've done a teaching around this. But you see, this is a very serious statement. Even as your soul prospers. Even as your soul prospers. That it is good that you prosper and be in health. But ensure that whilst you prosper, your soul also prospers. Can we add two more scriptures? Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8 from verse 36. Jesus is teaching now. Mark chapter 8. And verse 36. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world? Jesus is speaking business now. Profit. He's talking gaining. A language that everybody wants to hear. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? There is a system that has controlled our civilization until now. In fact, let me start it this way. The Bible clearly shows us that there is a conflict of two kingdoms. Everyone, please say two kingdoms. Yes. That men do not just live like animals. We are not just homo sapiens. There is a contention between two kingdoms. The Bible calls one the kingdom of darkness. Is that true? And then the other, the Bible calls the kingdom of God's dear son. So we know for a fact that there are two kingdoms. All men, regardless religion, regardless your sociological orientation, the Bible is very clear as to the fact that we are immersed in a conflict that is between two kingdoms. First information. Second information, the Bible clearly lets us know that this clash and this vendetta between these kingdoms predate our existence. So we're in the middle of something that is older than our appearing here. The war did not start with us. It did not start from us. Are we together? Revelation chapter 12, please, and verse 7. John was caught to the third heavens when he was banished. Theologically speaking, John was banished to die when he would not be burned in the hot oil and all of that. And then he was banished to an island called Patmos. And there he received the revelation of Jesus Christ. And now in chapter 12 from verse 7, these were some of the things that were shown John. Remember, the angel told him, write, for these words are faithful and true. Then when we get to chapter 4, chapter 5, he was told, come up hither and I will show you. So John was taken down memory lane and he was told here an old story. This is the fact that it's in Revelation does not mean it's a new story. This is a very old story. Are we together? And there was war in heaven. I can preach all night on that sentence. That means there is no life that is spared. In heaven, there was war. If there was war in heaven, then it is not unusual to have war around your life. Even in heaven where God dwells, there was war. There was war in heaven. And then the Bible says, Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought with his angels. His angels in heaven. This should already give you a description of the kind of adversary we are dealing with. That in heaven, Satan sold an idea to the angels that they saw God sitting on his throne in spite of the splendor of heaven. There was something Satan told them that they preferred his authority than the one who sits on the throne. Whoever has that kind of power, you should pay attention to him. Follow me this night. We're on a journey that God will grant us grace over. Now, we're examining, because when we talk about earth is marred with all kinds of prejudices, politics and the rest. So, let's look at heaven where Christ himself is seated. All this rubbish is going on in heaven. The one who sits on the throne is there. The miracle worker. The way maker. And yet there is a treacherous fellow selling an idea. And according to scripture, next verse, let's go to verse 8, that he fought and he prevailed not. The fact that Satan could fight God. Remember, please look up. Let me explain something to you. We are tracing where this that has destroyed our world, we are tracing where it came from. Politicians, understand this. This is what keeps you for hours in the House of Assembly trying to come up with policies that correct the madness in society. It matters. This is not a Christian message. This is a message that eventually leads to national transformation. This is not a Christian perspective. We have to trace where the problem is coming from. As at the time this problem started, there was no religion. As at the time this problem started, there were no men of God. As at the time this problem started, there were no educational institutions. So everything we are blaming is not the real problem. Follow this. Please give us that scripture. The Bible says, once upon a time, it leaves us with a story that is a compass to give us wisdom on how to correct the ills in society and produce a territory that glorifies God, restores human dignity, and makes advancement that reflects the love of the Father. Are we together? So there is a problem we are trying to diagnose right now. that Satan in the presence of God, because of treachery and treason, that he actually came to a point where he sold an idea. We'll be reading shortly, but that one third of the angels, now we do not know how many angels are in heaven. The Bible does not give us the figure, but at least we know the ones who fell with Lucifer. One third of these angels. What gave him the audacity? I will tell you. Satan's creation and Satan's assignment is what gave him the audacity to believe. I wish I had time. Would have dealt with what we have called the parable of talents. Have you read the parable of talents? That says there was a man who came and gave unto three people 5 talents, 2 talents, and 1 talent. That thing you see is not just a parable talking about money. There is prophecy hidden in it. It reveals something that happened years ago. But anyway, let's go back to our subject for tonight. So Satan prevailed not. Read on, please. The Bible says, neither was found any place for him in heaven. So he's about to be displaced now. And the great dragon was cast out. That old serpent. Even at that time he was old. Called the devil, so that there's no confusion. And Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So this is where the relocation happened now. From heaven came to the earth. Next verse. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. 11. And they overcame them by the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony. So Satan was cast down from heaven. He came to the earth. Now watch this. Scene 1 tells us that Satan rebelled against God. Michael fought him. Scene 2 shows us the misery and the disgrace of Satan. Is that true? We see Satan cast down in shame. In fact, it says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for Satan, that dragon, has come down with great fury. The next time we hear about Satan, everybody on earth was under his control. What a man. What a spirit. Really, not a man. Satan is not a man. If he was a man, there would have been a possibility for his sins being forgiven, because salvation is for men. So Satan is not a man. That's one of the reasons why he cannot be saved. Salvation is for men. Are we together now? So Satan is cast to the earth. Follow me to Matthew chapter 4. Jesus now comes in the flesh as the Son of Mary. Matthew chapter 4, let's start from verse 1, please. And Jesus was led up of the Spirit. This was after his baptism. He was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. That same devil now. So his audacity did not end. He still believes. Anywhere he sees God, he still has the strength. What a stubborn man. After many, many years. You see that? So that you will know Satan's determination to destroy you. When you see who else he has tried, you will know how serious he can stay to destroy you if you give him room. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, the Bible says afterwards Jesus now was an hungered. Verse 2. When the tempter came to him, let's look at the context of the temptation. He said, number 1, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered Jesus now and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. We'll discuss this later. Then the second temptation, watch this. Satan taketh him. Taketh who? What does it mean to take somebody?
This was the guy who was cast down to the earth. You would think it was game over. And by the time we get here, Satan has that audacity to take him to a holy city and to set him at the pinnacle of the temple. Next verse. And he said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands shall they bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Next verse. And Jesus said unto him again, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now, I'm interested in the last temptation. If you are a Christian and you are interested in what I'm saying, please help me read. Ready? One, two, read. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him the kingdoms and the glory of them. Stop, please. Satan, the first temptation has to do with your personal needs. Hunger. Feed yourself. The second temptation has to do with your worship and your spirituality. Please keep that scripture there. But the third temptation now has to do with the kingdom and the glory thereof. Satan took Jesus into a high mountain. This is not just climbing a hill. No, this is a prophetic language. What kind of mountain is it that when you stand, you see the glories of the whole world? This is a spiritual location. This is not a physical place that he took him, maybe like a mountain, an altitude. No. Next verse. Verse 9. Watch this. And he saith unto him, we finally arrive at my place of interest, all these things I will give thee. What a businessman. This guy was cast from heaven empty in shame. By the time Jesus arrives his own earth, Satan is so wealthy, he's saying, don't think I am empty. Just bow to me and I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. If you do not understand this, you will not understand the system that controls the activities of men. That means all the glory that Satan acquired from Adam, he was not interested in it. There was something else that was greater than that to him. The worship. So when Jesus came, he said, let me save you trouble. Let me save you going through the rigor of 3.5 years, the cross, the grave. Just bow to me and I will give you these glories. Verse 10. And Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. This gives us a clue to what Satan has been looking for. That Satan is not looking for the child of a barren woman. That's not what he's looking for. Satan is not looking for the prosperity of a rich man. That's not what he's looking for. Satan is not looking to cut short the life of someone. All these things are not the things he's looking for. There is something else that he's looking for. You need to know what motivates the passion of Satan. This is it. He met Jesus and said, instead of telling God on the throne to bow, since you are his image, just bow and I will give you everything. Are you getting that now? Watch this. This also reveals the character of Satan's way of doing business. Because here we see that Satan is a businessman. Make reference to what I'm saying. What shall it profit a man if he will gain and lose? For you to do business, there must be demand and supply, and there must be people at both ends. So Satan is a businessman. He's not just an accuser, and that there is the character of his business. Are you seeing that now? He acquires everything and tells you, the only thing I need from you is your allegiance and you will have it. And Jesus said, get thee behind me. How did Satan get this? When you go to Genesis chapter 3, when Satan was cast down and the earth was judged, we dealt with this already. Genesis 1 verse 2, there was darkness, there was void, there was formlessness across the face of the earth. Is that true? And then God said, light be. Elohim said, light be. And there was light. And then recreation, not the original creation. The original creation did not happen in Genesis chapter 1. The Genesis account was not the first creation. The Genesis account was a recreation after the judgment of Lucifer. It was the judgment of Lucifer that led to the chaos
that we see. Are we still together? Now Genesis chapter 3, please give it to us. Genesis chapter 3 from verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. It may interest you to know that the serpent initially was a beast. A beast is a four-footed creature. Can you see? He was subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, notice how Satan destroys. Because according to God's ranking, watch this now. When God gave man dominion, the seraphims are headed by the cherubims. The cherubims are headed by the woman. The woman is headed by the man. Man is headed by God. This is the organogram. Now, it does not mean, I just mean in ranking of honor. You get what I'm saying now? This is how it is. So, Satan could not have the power to talk to Adam. There was no reference of a discussion between Satan and Adam until he fell. But what Satan wanted was with Adam. But the only way he could come to Adam was to come to his Eve. You will now know why he's still disturbing the Eve of the second Adam, the church. Because he's looking for what is in that Adam still. But he cannot confront that Adam again because he's now been exalted Lord and Christ. And there is no space for him. So he's still using the same Genesis strategy. He wanted what Adam was given. But he had to come through Eve. Let's study the character of that temptation. The moment he met the woman, he said, yea, had God said. So the first point of probe is the word of God. When Satan comes to you, he wants to find out what God said. Because the instance of God's word is where his ministry starts. He wants to know, what did God say concerning your life? What did God say concerning your family? If God has not said anything concerning you, Satan has no business with you. He will pass you like this. You will call him, he will not even come. Believe me, you can say, how are you? And he says, I'm busy. But the moment God speaks concerning you, Satan is ready. He's ready to stay and find out. Could that be why attacks started in your life the moment prophecy came? That there is something, you are a child of destiny. Could that be why Africa is under this plague? Because there is an end time word upon Africa that we are that continent that will return Christ back. That rejected stone. Just help those under the anointing. Please pay attention. Give us that scripture again. So he questioned the woman. Had God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The woman replies, verse 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Of course, I don't want to go into the whole theological thing. You know that eating there is a prophetic statement. It doesn't necessarily mean physical eating. But because that's not what we're dealing with, let's just let it be so. And he said, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Verse 3. But the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. So there is death tied to that tree. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Let me tell you how Satan attacks. Number one, he studies what God has said to you. Then he brings in a proposition that makes God look like a scammer in your life. Notice now. Is it really true that you can thrive in our world without corruption? Even God knows. And he sugarcoats that truth. Please keep the scripture there. For God doth know. Are you seeing what Satan is telling the woman now? He's saying there is something God is hiding from you. And he was not entirely wrong. There was an information God did not want man to necessarily know. It's the information that was hidden in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But it was for the safety of the man. There are things God says it should not concern you. It's for your safety. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, what will happen? Your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So he's saying that God
is not sponsoring your advancement and your growth, he's insecure, there is something he's trying to hide from you. Watch what happened. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof. Now let me tell you this. Her eating of the fruit was not what made her fall. She had already fallen. Her eating of the fruit was proof that something had entered her. And once in a while, let me settle this controversy where men blame women. The Bible says that when she ate, she gave to her husband who was with her. So Adam was there with her. She didn't just eat it and go and call him. No, Adam was there with her. The woman fell because she was deceived. The man fell because of love. Apostle Peter taught us, Adam was not deceived. It was the woman who was deceived. So also, the second Eve was deceived. But the second Adam was not deceived. What made him leave heaven to the earth? Love. You see that now? The second Adam was not, it was not a deceit that brought him. He willingly gave up the throne and came down as proof of his love for his bride. Are we together? When that happened, let's look at the punishment and then we'll begin to build very quickly. And he did eat, verse 7. The Bible says the eyes of them both were open. Now, notice what happened. Do you know what this means? That the eyes of them both, it didn't just mean they were enlightened. No. There was a rearrangement of God's spiritual structure of how man should perceive. It was always the spirit of man first. Is that true? And then the mind and then the body. The spirit was always in control. The will, emotions, intellect, what we call the mind, was next. And then the body executed whatever the mind did. And the mind was subject to the spirit. This act rearranged everything. And you will see there that the first thing that followed was, you will see attributes of emotions. They knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves and made themselves aprons. Verse 8. And they heard the voice of God walking in the cool of the day. The Hebrew rendition says, and they had the talking spirit walking in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. This was a man who God would come in the cool of the day and fellowship with him. The creator and his creature. Now man was running away from the presence of God. And he hid amongst the trees. This was the first man-made solution. The first man-made solution we are aware of. Are you seeing where the first solution came from? Many other solutions have tried to come to solve the problem. The first man-made solution to the sin problem and the problem of separating from God was to run away from God and to come up with a temporary solution. And Adam, the Lord called Adam. Look at how God respects authority. When God gets to the garden, he does not say, all of you come. Mm-mm. Man, I left you as head, and you are the first I will speak to. There's no mention that God spoke to Eve until Adam gave him permission. Look how God honors this structure. And the Lord God called Adam and said unto him, Adam, and he said, where art thou? Verse 10. And he said, I heard your voice in the garden, but I was afraid. Afraid of what? Because I hid because I was naked. Verse 11. So this is where all deception comes from. And he said, who told you? Adam, what did you allow to get into your thinking? This is not part of the content of what I gave you. Who have you been listening to? Because your life is now executing an information. Am I still making sense? The moment God saw Adam's action, he didn't say, why did you do this? He said, who told you? In other words, your action is only a slave to your thinking. You have listened to someone. So when you see the armed robber stealing, It is not the stealing. When you see the terrorist killing, it is not the killing. When you see the person corrupt, it is not the corruption. The real question is, who told you? What is the institution that is feeding your understanding? When a man beats his wife, calls her idiot, stupid, maims the children, abuses everybody, the real question is not, why are you beating her? The hand is honoring something here. The real question is, who told you? Respectfully speaking, when a politician sits in office and siphons resources that should be for roads, siphons resources that should be for several other things, the real question is not what took your hand there, is who told you? This is from the mouth of God himself. This is how God addresses problems. He does not address problems by looking at actions. He addresses problems by looking at the motivation. You are honoring a conviction. When you know this, you will know how to help people, whether in the prison, the correctional centers, and all around. That's why I said this is not just a message for Christians. The moment you find people walking in a way that should not be, the first port of call is not their action. The first port of call is to attack the information that is creating their conviction. Until that information is corrected, they will always act in honor to their convictions. So when there is a high rate of irresponsibility among people within a society, it's not about why are you not working or why are you lazy. Go back and find out the voice that is feeding them. Who told you? Please give us the scripture. Who told you that you were naked? Hast thou eaten of that tree whereof I commanded that thou should not eat? The first demonstration of irresponsibility from the Bible. Are you ready to see it? The man said, the woman. That's where Adam lost his authority. Every time you blame something else, you transfer authority to it. That's how Adam transferred authority to Eve. You will now see that it was after this statement, God started talking to Eve. And the man said, the woman that thou gavest to be with me. In other words, it's between you and her. If you did not bring her here, I will be all right. You see what is wrong with the man? And she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord said to the woman, the first time he's talking to the woman, after the man sealed his sense of irresponsibility, he said, what is this that thou hast done? This is how the woman gave Satan authority. The woman said, the serpent. If the woman kept quiet, she would be head over man immediately. The woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Let me tell you how Satan became the god of this world. And the Lord said to Satan, because you have done this, out of the four of them, the only person who did not talk was the person who eventually carried the authority. Man spoke, transferred his authority to the woman. The woman spoke, transferred her authority to the serpent. The serpent kept quiet. So when Jesus was with Pontius Pilate, wanting to restore the authority, while they were talking, what did he do? This also means there is a dimension of dominion that is expressed in silence. Generally speaking, when people talk too much, it is considered that they are irrational, and there is a level of immaturity. This is true, whether in government, in business, in family, there is a level of maturity. Notice when they came and met Jesus, a woman who was caught in adultery, what did he do? He kept quiet and was just writing. And he got up from the standpoint of wisdom and said, he who has no sin should cast the first stone. End of discussion. Even a fool, the Bible says, when he is silent, he is considered wise. Are we learning the ways of God? Next scripture. The Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of your life. 15. I will put enmity between the woman and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel.
Verse 16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of your life. And then when you read, it says thorns and thistles will come out. He drove them out of Eden, and then there was a cherubim and a flaming sword that protected Eden. From this instance, we begin to see a manifestation of toiling, of hardship. Is that true? Then the Bible tells us that Adam knew his wife, and she bore him Cain and Abel. Now there's a lot of theological argument as to whether Cain and Abel were twins, because the Bible does not make reference of Eve getting pregnant again. The next time the Bible tells us Adam knew his wife, she gives birth to a son called Enoch. And it says men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Is that true? But then you will notice something very strange. In every expression of the genealogy in the Bible, Cain and Abel are not mentioned. Read the genealogy in the gospel. Whenever it gets to Enoch, the son of Adam, the son of God. So we know for sure that there is a mystery behind these two fellows, Cain and Abel. Because when we get to the Pauline epistles, Paul begins to give us a revelation of Cain and Abel as an expression of the spirit and the flesh. Is that true? Abel being representing the spirit man and the spirit work, and Cain representing the flesh. But that's not where I'm headed to. Now, we're in a situation where we want to investigate how this demonic software spread to come to our region now. Are we together now? The Bible says in the book of Genesis chapter 6. Let's look at Genesis chapter 6. Be patient, you'll begin to make sense to you. Let's start with Genesis 4. Genesis chapter 4, verse 16. Let's look at Genesis 4, 16. The Bible says, and Cain went out of the presence of the Lord. Look up, please. Very interesting statement. It was the psalmist who said, where can I hide from your presence? So now he's saying Cain went out of the presence of God. Do you know what this means? Cain willingly unsubscribed to the governing influence of heaven. As an act of his will, I am no longer interested in you, God. I am not interested in your government. I want to live my life by myself. So we see direct rebellion against the government of God. And he dwelt in the land of Nod in the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and he builded a city. Let me correct myself. Seth, not Enoch. Forgive me. The other son of Adam is Seth, not Enoch. Enoch was the first son of Cain. And he built a city. Wow. So this is the first time we see that a man is attempting to build a city outside of the governing influence of the Christ. Notice the character of the Antichrist system. The moment it rebels against God, it seeks to build something, a monument that honors self. Number two, do you notice that Cain built the city and he named the city after his son? Satan never says, worship me. He will always project something that came out of him. Revelation 13, you will see. Right? The beast projects the Antichrist and says to worship the Antichrist. Remember? That dragon. Satan will never come and say, worship me directly as it were. But he will build something that comes out from him and say, worship me. This is the character of his subjugating men and bringing men under this Antichrist system. Cain did not name the city after him. He named the city after his son, Enoch. From that time, watch this, rebellion,
people did not subscribe to the government of God again. By the time we get to Genesis chapter 6, give us Genesis chapter 6. We'll read from verse 1, but verse 5 is the verse of emphasis. Genesis 6 and verse 1. Look up, please. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. The Bible says, verse 2, the sons of God saw the daughters of men. I don't want to get into this. There is a big confusion around here. But I know we talk about the Nephilims, the giants, the race of giants. The Nephilims are not the only race of giants. But they are a unique race of giants because they came as a product of intercourse between these fallen angels, the daughters of men, the children that came from that union. They are called the Nephilims, giants. They were superhumans. An example was Goliath of Gath. Another example, Og, the king of Bashan. You read all these people and you see that they had superhuman qualities. And can I surprise you? There is still a remnant of that race here. It is not expressed in their being huge. It's expressed by the unusual way they operate. It is not only pure humans that are on earth. There are other humanoid species on earth. The Bible tells us the coming of Christ will be like the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, they were not alone. There were other humanoid species that are now interacting. You see, science talks about UFOs, talks about all of these things. They are not telling lies. It is true. There are all kinds of alien civilizations that have been here and others that are coming and attempting to corrupt the race. When you know all of this, you will know why the Bible says, wherefore God has so highly exalted him above and given him a name above every other name. Above every other name means there are many names. And all those names carry levels of authority. Are we together? Next verse. The sons of God saw that the daughters of men were fair, and they took them to wives of all which they chose. Verse 3. And the Lord said, watch this now, God is speaking. My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also his flesh, and his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men who were men of renown. Verse 5. This is where I wanted us to get to. And God saw, please look up, believers. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And that so this is the source of the wickedness. The source of the wickedness is not just Satan. That this wickedness also depends on creativity. His imagination has a role to play and the thoughts in his heart. Are you seeing that now? God again is addressing this problem. You see that every time God addresses man, he does not just address what you are doing. He addresses the fact that there a spirit has hijacked your imagination and your creativity. Follow me closely. Because we are going to get to a point where we see the value of transformation. That for as long as the only thing we do is evangelism, we are going to produce a very godless society, to your shock. That people are just saved and just remain there. Nothing happens to their mind. Their minds will still become fruitful tools that the devil will use. Evangelism, transformation, empowerment. These are the keys that preserve. Evangelism brings them. Transformation changes them. Empowerment now increases them and releases them to be effective people. What has happened largely in the church is that we have done extremely well. And by the privilege of God's grace, we have to give it to the church. We have done well in terms of evangelism. But then we bring in a lot of harvests. And we leave them there. And they do not know what to do. And Satan says, well, the best would have been to stop you from receiving Jesus. But now that I cannot do anything about your decision, I am glad that your mind is still a barren and a fruitful ground for me. So you find out that there is no difference between a believer and an unbeliever as far as societal transformation is concerned. Because an heir, as long as he's a child, he differeth not from a slave, even though he be Lord of all. Are we together? Please keep that scripture. I hope God is helping us. I know it's a long journey. Just be patient. I need to be this meticulous so that we will really understand. Don't forget where we are coming from. From heaven, war in heaven, Satan comes down to the earth, and we see that wickedness has filled everywhere. We are examining how Satan became so effective in this agenda. That even though the people who were perpetrators of those wickedness, they are long dead, but the agenda still remains the same. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So, before a man becomes an armed robber, he does not just go and pick up a gun, ladies and gentlemen. Satan comes to that man, and before he introduces that concept to that man to destroy, he first checks what is in his mind. Satan is a master with checking minds. Even when he's delivered, Jesus taught us, he returns back and checks what is there. If he finds the room swept, clean, but empty, will he leave it empty? He will go and gather other spirits. So he finds a young man, visionary, great young man. He finds a great woman, visionary, great woman. But then he sees that there is no methodical system of transferring the principles, the value system of the kingdom into that person. Are we together now? What happens is that he now fashions a strategy of deception. How does he deceive? By proposing to you something that only God can give. Why do people take drugs? Why do occultists and all these people do what they do? Because they want to get high. And in that state, they feel superior. Why do people join cultism in campuses? Because there is a proposition to them. They let them know that if you join this occultic group, there is some kind of immunity. Is that true? Why do we have all kinds of deadly clubs and societies today that destroy people? Because they attach some sense of significance to it. Why do you suddenly respect me when you see a nice shoe and a nice dress? It doesn't matter whether I'm a nice person or not, because you have been trained that once you see that physical expression, it may mean that I am greater and more superior than someone. So if that is the system of marketing, a lot of young people who would have started their lives growing with honor and dignity to scale till they become responsible, they will find a way of getting tomorrow to arrive today. Since you have told me that the only way to respect me is when I wear a designer shoe, a designer watch, Satan now capitalizes on that mindset and says, look, I can show you a way. 10 years to be blessed is too long. Do you have that time? No. After all, God gives speed. You say it's true. So he will tell you. Now, listen, I'm going to tie it up with the scripture we also read. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? The mindset, the value system, the imagination of people hijacked by the power of darkness. So Satan does not mind whether you are Igbo. He does not mind whether you are Yoruba. He does not mind whether you are Hausa. He does not mind whether you are an American, an European, an Asian. He knows that we all have the same mind. So he began to trace all across the earth. What are the systems that speak to the mindset of people? He found that culture has a way of helping to frame mindset. So he became interested in culture. What part of that content can I use to preserve continuity of a demonic mindset? He found out that money seems to control loyalty. People can bow to you when you have money. So he went to the economy of the earth. He's called the King of Tyre. He sits there on that mountain to make sure you never get blessed with your soul healthy. When you come to him and say, I want to prosper, I want my children to go to church, or I'm a man of God, I'm trusting that financial resources be made available for kingdom activities, Satan says, all that is nonsense. There is only one condition. Bow to me. I hope you know that Jesus rejected that proposal. But it is not only Jesus Satan has taken to that mountain. There are many others that he held their hands. I want to become famous. I want the whole world to know me. And he says, come. There is a mountain where I show you the glories of the world. If it's money, you can have it. Anything, you can have it. The only thing I want from you is that you must pledge a covenant of allegiance that for as long as you enjoy these things, your worship will be to me. And Jesus said, get thee behind me. Thou shalt worship the Lord, and him alone shalt thou serve. Now write this down, please. The Antichrist system is a system of civilization that is in total rebellion to the value system and the government of heaven. The Antichrist system is a value system or a system of civilization that is in total rebellion to the government of heaven. It is also a system that usurps the will and the dignity, the will of men and the dignity of effective living. The Antichrist system will never allow the will of men to find expression. No, it works by subjugation. And it is also a system that never allows for a dignified life. You will never truly be under an Antichrist system and have long-term dignified living. What is the goal? What is Satan really looking for? What motivates his passion to destroy men? What motivates his passion to destroy nations? What motivates his passion to destroy men of God, to destroy business people, to destroy politicians, to use the tool of religion, the tool of economy, to use that all kinds of things? What is his passion? What is his motivation? Write this down. What Satan wants is total allegiance to him as the source and the sustainer of all things. This is what he wants. Total worship and total allegiance to him as the source and sustainer of all things. He fell down from heaven because of an agenda. What was the agenda? He wanted to run a parallel government. Satan did not want to dethrone God. No. He wanted to run a parallel government so that you can choose God or choose him. It is still his strategy today. Every time Satan comes and sees you in total allegiance to God, he will come as an alternative. Please pay attention. What we call crime, what we call moral decadence, what we call pain and hardship, what we call terrorism, what we call corruption are simply inventions that promote one and the same agenda. They are different expressions of one and the same agenda to create a system that forcefully brings men, all men, Christians, non-Christians, from any race. Satan is interested in bringing everyone to a position where you worship him. Now, as we began to advance and modernize as far as our civilization is concerned, Satan noted that there was something unique about economy. Now listen, I hope you know money and economy is man's idea. It's not a heavenly idea at all. It's man's idea. The idea of money, transaction, business is man's idea. It's an invention, a profitable one. Satan discovered that the greatest thing he can possess from a man to really be able to lord over him is time. Time. He found out that every other thing he takes from man does not seem to produce that efficiency. But there was one thing that if he can hijack, is time. That no matter who you are on earth, real dominion is dominion over time. If you do not have dominion over time, you do not have dominion. And Satan found out that because our civilization, please listen carefully, our civilization is economically driven. He found out that men are willing to give their time if they will get money, so that with that money, they will now have a means of exchange to solve their problems and meet their needs. And Satan said, beautiful, now I have found a strategy. What is the strategy? Let me create a system that manipulates the economy of nations to make it unbearably difficult for men to be able to access the resources that provide for influence. Are we together? That provide for sufficiency. Because once their needs are met, I have found out that they are free. And the moment they are free, they will give their time to God. So, in Egypt, Pharaoh began to oppress the people of God. Another Pharaoh that did not know Joseph. But then they were giving them straw free of charge. And then they would do the building. The moment Moses came to now propose their exodus, the spirit of the Antichrist walking through Pharaoh got angry and said, the remaining time you have is what you are using to serve God. Stop giving them straw. Use the remaining time to look for straw. What did they tell Moses? Leave that agenda. We are willing to stay back. Don't punish us again. So every time God sees a people calling upon the name of the Lord, father, mother, and children lifting the hands of Jesus in worship and in praise and helping the nations to know him, Satan will come in economically. Then the man loses his job. Daddy, let's pray. Don't talk to me again. What is wrong with this man? What is suddenly happening to the man? He goes to the hospital, you measure his BP, and you find out that this man is getting sick. Are you seeing now? Trouble comes, and the children now, in an honest effort to help their father, they say, what can I do? And Satan says, this is what I've been waiting for. Come to me. I will show you what you can do to help your father. By the time Satan is done with them, they will be in the middle of Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember, Lot settled near Sodom. He didn't enter Sodom. By the time Abraham went to rescue him, where did he find him? Why does a terrorist kidnap and demand ransom? What does he want to do with the money? What if he dies? When someone amasses millions and billions in his account through corruption, what does he want to do with it? Respectfully speaking, what happens during election when people come and you find out that people seem to be bought over just with economic empowerment? Can I tell you this? Satan prefers a healthy church to a prosperous church. He can allow you to have divine health 1,000 times, but not resources. Because he knows that with resources, you will have dominion over time. And the moment you have dominion over time, you will have the time to bow your knees to the God of your salvation. You can decide to set aside a day and say, father, mother, and children, today we are going to worship the Lord. When Jesus was teaching and helping the people understand the kingdom, an embarrassing situation happened there that is instructive. The tribute collectors were sent to come and disrupt his program. As soon as they got there, they said, Jesus, you claim you are teaching people, but you've not paid your tax. And Jesus was in a very embarrassing situation. And he said, it's all right. Go and get the fish. Open the mouth. Take Caesar's coin. Go and give it to him. There is a message there. Anytime you are focusing on your spiritual growth and your love for God, a stranger must visit you. The tribute collectors. Satan knows that you will never have the time to concentrate loving and serving God for as long as your bills are not paid. So So the only way he disrupts your worship is that whilst you are focusing, the tribute collector will come. It will come as children's school fees. It will come as rent issue. It will come as health bills. So Jesus taught us the secret to finding peace. Make sure you have Caesar's coin waiting while you are worshiping, so that as soon as he comes, you tell him, don't distract me. Pick your coin and go. Here's how he put it. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. There are things that belong to Caesar. And even Jesus respected it. And then give to God what belongs to God. Are we together? A system that was built by Satan to make sure that all, but especially believers, are so subjugated to a point where they do not see value in serving God. And there are all kinds of annexes of that expression in our society today. This is the reason why crime, corruption, moral decadence, all of these things continue to rise geometrically. And the government will keep doing their best. The judicial system will keep doing their best. Is that true? Religious systems keep doing their best. Africa being a very religious continent, and yet we may not seem to be making the kind of headway we should make. There is a problem. The problem is not the activities. The problem is that we need to go back and re-examine carefully that we are immersed in a system. It is largely a mind control system. Is that true? It is an information that is godless. Then fortified by the presence of demon spirits, we call it a stronghold. A stronghold is a mindset, is a belief system that has been fortified by the presence of demon spirits to keep the victim in that state. Are we blessed? Ideas. So when you want to introduce, look at Jesus. I love Jesus. Jesus shows up, and here's what he says. Ladies and gentlemen, here is my message. Repent, for the kingdom is at hand, within your reach. What is repent? Let's go to your mind. I want to help you now, but the first thing I need to do is not just to cast out Satan. Salvation is coming, but I need to work on you. There is something about your understanding that keeps you in servitude. There is something about your understanding that keeps you irresponsible. A young man is not just irresponsible like that. There is a programming that makes irresponsibility marketable. There is a mindset, a programming that makes cultism marketable. There is a mindset that makes corruption marketable. So, when the kingdom system comes, listen carefully. The kingdom system does not just produce miracles, signs, and wonders. Falling down, healings, that's wonderful. But primarily, the kingdom advances on the strength of the message, the ideology. This is where the real power of the kingdom is. It's in the message, not just the actions. Someone, I can begin to pray now for the sick or pray for people who are oppressed, and these demons will leave them because they honor the word of God that was speaking. But the demons will be waiting at the junction. They know that the mind of that victim is still fruitful for their entry. All they need to do is manipulate a system again, and they are back in comfortably. So the real way to transform believers from this demonic software that continues to plague our society, please listen. Number one is the message of the gospel, because we are dealing with two kingdoms here. It's a spiritual issue. The issue of salvation is not a religious advocacy. It truly is the answer to man's decadence, the life of Jesus.
Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is. Daniel chapter 3. We're now in a time in history where Satan knows that his time is short. He knows that we're in the end times. He knows that there is a global revival that is coming. Satan knows that like never before, God has released his power upon the earth. But Satan also knows that there is gross ignorance in the church as far as how the kingdom advances. We know how souls are saved, but we do not know how the kingdom advances within a territory and within a sphere. And a few people who try to bring these ideas are greatly persecuted. Do you know why? Because for as long as we just feel that once you are born again, that's all. Your whole attention should just be on your spiritual growth. That is true, but that cannot be the only strategy. Daniel chapter 3. Let me show you something. We're going to pray. This is Babylon, under the leadership of this king called Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold. Please look up. Here we see the manifestation of the spirit of the Antichrist again. He will always bring an image to worship. The image can be money. The image can be fame. The image can be lust. The image can be anything. The king made an image of gold whose height was 3 score cubits. You know what this? 90 feet. And the breadth thereof 6 cubits, and set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. We are reading. Pay attention. Nebuchadnezzar. Now, watch this. This is the whole theme of this scripture is worship. The Antichrist system. Worship. Not money. Not fame. Not even persecution. Worship. But look at the structure of that worship. Before he built that image, he made sure that every noble person was on his side. Look at those who were there. Nebuchadnezzar the king sent together the princes, governors, captains. Are you seeing all those who he won? Judges, treasurers, counselors, sheriffs, rulers over provinces. These are the people who came to the dedication of that image. What do we call that? Influence. What else is left as far as authority in society is concerned? These are the mind control systems. He made sure they were all represented in that dedication. Again, princes, governors, captains, judges, treasurers. There you find it. Treasurers, counselors, sheriffs, rulers of the provinces come to the dedication of that image which the king has set up. So when he sets up an image over a territory, he does not disturb everybody yet. He begins to scan. Where is that millionaire businessman? Come. Where is that gospel artist that has potentials to go around the world? Come. When he gathers all the influencers, he now builds the image. Watch this. Verse 3. And the princes, governors, captains, judges, treasurers, counselors, sheriffs, rulers were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. They stood before the image. Be patient. Then there was a cry. To you is commanded, not suggested, commanded. O people, see how the Antichrist system works. When it captures the nobles within a territory, then decrees begin to come gradually, gradually, until it looks like it is something that is forceful. It is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, verse 5, that at the time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the psaltery, and all of this, you will do what? Fall down and worship the image. Smart king. He did not say worship me, but you just worship my image. While I stand back and enjoy the same thing. You see that now? Satan may not come to you directly and say, worship me. You'll be too much and you have enough sense. So he will say, do you know what? Just worship your job. Just worship your business. Provided it is not Jesus Christ, worship any other thing, you are allowed. Because any other thing that is not him, I have power over it. Worship your certificate. Worship your political position. Worship your achievement. Worship your beauty.
worship your intelligence, even worship your anointing. Oh yes. Worship your church. Worship your religious activities. Provided it is not Jesus the Son, I'm satisfied. Any other thing, I can put my image there. I can put my image in your business. I can put my image in your reputation. I can put it anywhere. The only thing, see, everything can be Satan's image if it is minus Jesus. Please keep the scripture. We'll soon be praying. Fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Verse 6. And whoso does not fall down and worship shall the same hour be cast into the midst of burning fiery furnace. Why do you call the issue of finances economic meltdown? What made it melt? So therefore, at that time, when all the people had the sound and so on and so forth, they fell down and worshipped. All of them. When you see the people who inspire you falling down, you will be motivated to join them and fall down too. When the billionaire businessman who is your boss is worshipping and increasing in the billions while you are going to church and getting broke, sooner or later your wife will say, I don't understand this thing you are doing. And initially you think he will not touch you until your child returns back from his school with the school fees, they drive them away. You say, you know what, God, I've tried for you. Anything you see me do, don't blame me. There is an exhaustion. Satan knows something about man, that except you are engraced by God, you cannot suffer long indefinitely. There will be a breaking point. So he will meet you at that point. Just when you graduated, you were on fire from fellowship on campus. Oh, why don't you, you know, just join this club or join this group, you'll become a believer. Ah, no, in the name of Jesus. He knows. He will allow time. He will meet you after 5 years and say, are you still here? And you say, come, what did you even say before? I won't agree, but just explain. Let me understand now. Give us that scripture. Verse 8 now. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. Now, we are going to see a contrast of kingdoms. Verse 9. They speak and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. That's what the king wants. Thou hast made a decree that every man shall hear the sound of all of these instruments and shall fall down and worship you. 11. Whoso does not fall down and worship, he should be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Verse 12 now. It says, there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring these boys, and they brought them before the king. This is the price that you pay for being different. In a territory that is immersed in a system that is godless, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, it is true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up. 15. If you hear all of these things, make sure, he says, if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? It has moved from the issue of worship to the issue of loyalty to God. I love Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Joshua Selman. Answered the king and said unto him, watch this, O king, when it has to do with matters of sociology and matters of governance, we give you the respect that is due you. But now that you have touched the issue of faith, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. 17. It says, if it be so, Let me tell you that we are a people, number one, who are motivated by our love for God greater than result. Are you seeing the contrast of the kingdom life? In the kingdom of darkness, you are motivated by things, ultimately to bow to Satan, whether you like him or not. In this kingdom, it is the love of God, more than money, more than fame, more than titles. Here are people who are not only about to lose their office and their reputation, lose their lives, and they say, if it is on account of that, we are more than ready. Our God whom we serve, he is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O King. 18, he says, but if not, what sort of a people are these? That's the first time the king is hearing that there are people who do not mind. We will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was angry. How many people have refused to be promoted? Because they know that once they are promoted, there will be justice, there will be equity. How many people, are you seeing the reason why many people don't do so much and yet they prosper? And we sit down there saying they are prospering more than us. No. Do you know who and what they bow to? Satan was a witness when you were rolling in your living room that, Lord, everything I have is yours. Then the next thing, you just delve into oil and gas and the gods of the sea. Say you are joking. We were there when we saw that worship. You will not easily just win a contract like that. If there was no adversary, there will not be need for dominion. Please keep that scripture. We're about to pray. Pay attention now. He commanded, notice, are you seeing the first thing he did? Command the fire to be seven times hotter in their presence. They are not yet inside, but let them see the potential of the destruction that can come. Peradventure, they will change. Verse 20. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind them. What does it mean to bind? To limit. To limit them and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Follow me carefully, we're almost done. Then these men, bound in their coats and so on and so forth, they were cast into the fire. Verse 22. Therefore, because of the king's commandment, because the king's commandment was urgent, the furnace was exceedingly hot. The flame of the fire slew even the men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Imagine such a furnace. And these men, they fell down into the midst of the fire. Why? Satan wanted, let me tell you this, there is nothing that rewards Satan more than punishing a dedicated believer in the presence of other potential believers. Because when they see the pain of one who loves God so much and things go bad, it amplifies the fear. That's why when Satan wants to attack believers, he does not start with ordinary people. He looks for those who have some kind of influence, and then he deals with them in a way that discredits God so much. This is the strategy. Next verse, verse 24. Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished. Now this, ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the power of this kingdom that we represent. Isn't it amazing that when God is silent, it is a message? Satan continues to do what he's doing, but it gets to a time when you stand strong, where you stand hopeful, and know that this kingdom, whether you lift me or not, oh God, I will not bow. Lord, I will bow to you, to no other God but you alone. I will worship you, nothing hands have made but you alone. And I will lay down my idols and thrones I have made, and all that has taken my heart.
Hear me, believers, I bring you a message.
No matter who you are, the strength of your allegiance to this kingdom will be tested in your lifetime. I give you a guarantee by the God of heaven. This one, you will not pray it away. You will only pray for grace to remain and see God show himself strong and mighty. Some of you, as I'm speaking right now, that is the season you are in. It is on account of your strength for God. You would have gotten a job 5 years ago if only you compromised. But because you are standing, you are now even looking like a fool. Family members are saying, keep being stupid. Then they coin a scripture and say, wisdom is profitable to direct. Is it Christianity we will eat? They will tell you. And you feel stupid for loving him. There are many people who have lost election today who have the credibility, but because they made up their minds that they will do it right. Sometimes being right comes with a price. Just because you are right does not always mean you will experience temporal victory. Don't be ashamed of your tears. Let me show you scripture here. If we do not train believers to know that there is a system that attempts to sabotage our allegiance to God, we must get to a point where we restore honor to those who are in pains on account of their dignity for God. Can I tell you this? There are people that have died today simply because they will not renounce Christ. There are people today who may not be experiencing the kind of growth, maybe ministry, because they will not go somewhere and get any other power outside of Jesus Christ and say, Lord Jesus, if you will not heal, I rather stay and say I do not have the grace, but my hand will not touch any charm or anything to make sure anybody is healed. Can I tell you this? The ways of the kingdom looks deceptively slow. Everybody will seem to go ahead of you. You are a man of God and God wants to raise you to be a mighty man. And somebody calls you, some group, and tells you, look, you do ministry this way, you are going to suffer. It doesn't have to be an occultic thing. Just anything that takes you away from Jesus. And it looks marketable. There is a strategy that can increase membership for you. The worst one now is the issue of finance and comfort. Because the truth is, we live in times, you know, for a long time the church has been shying away from this. I'm not talking about some of these carnal things you see around, money. But I'm talking about if we ignore the place. I taught in Zaria, and maybe I'll wrap up with it. There are four dimensions to the gospel that if we do not teach believers, one, spirituality, two, leadership and governance, three, relationships, four, economy. If believers are not empowered with these dimensions of spiritual knowledge, they will remain slaves forever in any territory they find themselves in. When you die, you will go to heaven, no? But as far as earth is concerned, you will be a servant, a slave forever. Spirituality. Men who love Jesus sincerely, not just as preachers. Not just as preachers. I'll be here bowing down all of the days of my life. I'll be here bowing down all of the days of my life. I'll be here worshiping all of the days of my life. I'll be here worshiping all of the days of my life. 5 years after marriage, no child. Very soon your family will call you and say, look, there is a man, he's not exactly bad. There's just something that we are used to it. All of us, that's how you even came self. And yet in your visions, the interesting thing is that while Satan is doing all this nonsense, you will go back to bed and see that God will not change what he has been saying. Your womb will carry a prophet. Be careful.
Be careful. Be careful. And all kinds of suggestions are coming from everywhere. Satan is building that image. My brothers and my sisters, let me tell you this. Many times you feel stupid when you look around and it looks like you are not moving forward. Sometimes, respectfully speaking, loved ones and people who are sincere can look at you and say, look at this. You graduated 20 years ago. Till now, you have not even built a house. The only thing growing in your life is your age. Look at your classmate. He's even in Dubai. He's everywhere there. And sometimes you say, Lord, is this your plan for me? When Jesus was on that cross, you would have called him defeated. But something was happening that you did not see. He hung between the nails. And while he was hanging, Caesar, Herod, and co. were saying, finally. And Satan was rejoicing. Since you will not bow, I will hang you on a tree. Either ways, you will have to listen to me. And he closed his eyes in death. Hell was rejoicing. We killed the Son of God. Suddenly a stranger steps into Hades, the place of the dead. What are you doing here? And he says, when sinners die, where do they go? I became sin. Now I'm here. And the cohorts of hell were all on him. How else would he tell us that he is victorious? Until we have to see it in a context. And that was the context. Satan and the cohorts of hell. Paul was shown this in a revelation. Fighting to force him now to bow down. And when the legal claims of justice were made, the Bible says he made a public show of them. Watch this. Triumphing over them in judgment. He now meets face to face with the one he created and said, Lucifer, your rebellion, give me the keys. This is the kingdom we are part of. Revelation chapter 1. I was he that was dead and now is alive and I have the keys. That's where he got it from. Watch this. When he held that key, he went to Hades. Apostle Peter taught us. He preached to the saints, right, who had been waiting for this miracle of salvation. They died in faith believing. And when they believed, he opened those prisons and he said, let's go. The hymn writer says, up from the grave he arose. When he came out together with all those people. Watch this now. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. And he destroyed death. And with power and glory, the disciples were shaking. You wasted our time. We were part of this system. Now you brought a new kingdom. We've lost everything. We look like failures. But when he resurrected, he said, all hail. He entered the room without opening the door. He's showing you the potentials of this kingdom. That means, look, I used to think doors have to open for you to enter. But I learned that there is still a way. The door can still be closed and you will enter. All hail. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. I know you look like failures for walking with me for 3.5 years, but you are about to see the power in this kingdom. Go with this authority. Go and disciple nations. Teach them everything I've taught you. Teach them that somewhere in their life, they may see a similitude of defeat, but they should wait. Teach them everything I taught you. And while you teach them, I am with you. I will confirm your words with signs. Confirm your words with miracles. Hear me. Every time evil seems to prevail over good, something is happening.
That is true for this nation. That is true for Africa. Can I tell you this? Our beloved country and our beloved continent. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. In the midst of the decadent, I tell you. I'm telling you by prophecy and from scripture, it will not end the way you are seeing it like this. No. See, Jesus is not coming back as king of a weak, beaten, defeated church. The kingdom that we serve for a long time, it looks like it's a shame to be a child of God. But I tell you, we are about to enter an era of the apostolic move of God upon the earth, economically, politically. This nation will experience something that it has never seen from independence. I tell you this by the Spirit of God. Listen. Where death ends is also where resurrection starts. For now, it does not yet appear what God is doing in your life. Sometimes as we preach the gospel as servants of the living God, people even look at us as a nuisance to civilization. What are you teaching? Calm down. You may not see it yet, but something is happening. From the Spirit of God, through our spirit, to your spirit man and your mind. When Satan wanted to propagate this demonic software of Babylon, it is a spirit, then belief systems, then destruction. Now that God is bringing deliverance, it comes from the spirit through a new belief system. It takes a while. You may not look like it, oh politician, but God saved you from winning that election because there is one you are going to. Let me show you something. We have read the end of the book. We know what will happen. Revelation 18. I know you look cheated. I know you look defeated. Brothers and sisters, look at me. Let me show you how Babylon will end. The Bible already told us the end. After these things, I saw another angel come from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. What an angel. Next verse. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit. Now follow carefully. I want to show you something and then we'll pray. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. So Babylon is a goddess. She sits upon a horse. Until you fraternize with her, you will not reign in this kingdom. She has called politicians. She has called men of God. She has called business people. You want to rise? It is not the way. It's not just about this school thing. Come. Let us get into a partnership. There are many people today that you continue to admire. Let me tell you the truth. Their excelling is based on their fraternity with Babylon. Let me show you the end of the story. It says, the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants, businessmen, there it is. The merchants of the earth are wax rich. How? Through the abundance of her delicacy. Then I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her. This is the word for you now. You are almost getting there, but come out of her, my people. Why? That ye be not partakers of her sins, that ye receive not of her plagues. There is a plague that is coming on the earth. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God had remembered her iniquity. Be patient. Watch this. It says, reward her even as she rewarded you, and double her according to this and that and that. Next verse. It says, how much she has glorified herself, the pride of this antichrist system called Babylon, and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she said in her heart, I sit a queen, and I am no widow, and I shall see no sorrow. This is Babylon talking. Therefore shall her plagues come in how long? Death, mourning, famine. She shall be utterly burnt with fire. For strong is the Lord who judgeth her. Watch this. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. Standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, in 1 hour is your judgment come. Now, watch this. Let me show you. It says, the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn for her, and no man buyeth her merchandise anymore. There are people buying it now. They are buying. Let me show you what she sells. Do you want to see what she sells? Babylon. Let's see what Babylon sells. Number one, the merchandise of gold, the merchandise of silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet, Tyan wood, all manner of vessels of ivory, all manner of precious wood, of brass, of iron, of marble. Pay attention to 13. Cinnamon, odors. She sells anointing. She sells frankincense. She sells wine. She sells all kinds of graces. She sells abundance. She sells wheat. Let's start reading now. She sells beasts. She sells sheep. She sells horses. She even sells chariots. What else does she sell? Slaves. And what? All. They are her products. She can give you influence. The souls of men. As an artist, you can get into fraternity with her and sing anything, and the world must listen to you because she has sold you the souls of men. Where did she get those souls? The ones who came to do business with her. What shall it profit a man if he gains? So as she's giving you, there's something she collects and sells it to whoever wants. Now, here's what the Bible says. It says that you prosper. Is that true? And be in health. But make sure your soul does not become the commodity that goes in exchange. I can tell you, there are people who have sold their souls to the devil. Not by saying, Satan, take. No. The more you leave God as you rise, there is an exchange that is happening. The more your fame increases and your fire goes down. Business people, hear me. Respectfully speaking, because this money thing sometimes brings a lot of arrogance. Once people have money, I'm a billionaire, I'm a millionaire, whether in naira or dollars or whatever currency, usually that state deafens people and they don't listen to anything again. I am rich. The mistake of, I think, the Laodicean church. They said, I am rich, I have no need for anything. Anything that will take your place in my life, may it never come. Any door that will take your place in my life, may it never open. Why have I taught you this today? Number one, to help you see the motivation behind the evil in our society. It is not a sociological issue. It is not just an educational issue. In truth, from a sociological standpoint, when we start addressing the ills in society, we look at indices like education, quality of living, governance, and the rest, and we are right. But that is the reason why our law courts will continually prosecute criminals, because there is a software. They go to prison, they come out, they return back, they come out, they return back, they come out, they return back, because their bodies are merciless executors of a mindset that only the gospel can erode. the gospel in its entirety, the message and the value system. Respectfully speaking, and not to create any sense with every sense of honor and respect, it is also the reason why families do not last. It is, statistic tells us, I hope I'm right, that one out of every two marriages may not last long and will end. It doesn't mean the people are wrong. It is that somebody somewhere or both of them have exposed themselves to a programming that is not consistent with the kingdom. Is there a way to prosper with the dignity of kingdom integrity? Yes. What is the solution? It is called the gospel. Now you know that the gospel is not only a message that saves. You have received the message that saves. Now receive the ideology that transforms. The ideology that transforms you, the ideology that transforms your society. You can take that ideology like a software, program it to your children. If you never see them again, you can trust what they will become. The software is that powerful. This is why we have to pray that God will raise people who are connected to kingdom first. Then we now spread them across the seven strata of human activities. A politician that is not just a Christian fanatic, but one who understands the kingdom, will be in a better position to legislate. Because number one, he knows that God is the God of all flesh. He's not in that office to represent Christians. He's in that office to represent God's creation. So his ideas, even though referenced from scripture, will be communicated in a way and a manner that makes all and sundry to advance in their lives. Fanatism is not an honor to any religion concerned. It is still a deception by Satan because it punishes all involved. Fanatism and religion does not profit one party or the other. It looks like it profits one party, but when the full scope of the deception is unleashed, everyone involved suffers. Can I tell you this? When God sent me to this city, one of the graces and one of the instructions and one of the things that he gave is that by the grace of God, God wants to raise a people who are kingdom people, but people of influence. He will station them in strategic positions, but they will not just be people who are going around to earn a living. They are people who know that they are there on assignment. This is why he gave us the grace. I'm not a politician. I don't do politics. I don't do partisan politics. I'm a man of God. But let me submit to you. God has given us the authority that enthrones kings and removes them. It is true. What is our assignment tonight? Understand. Go back home now and see your child who is always stealing. It is not the stealing. You can flog that child till tomorrow. Go back as a priest, not just a father. Call that child and say, in addition to what you are going to receive, the spirit that is behind you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Are you seeing that now? Go back as a politician and enter your office. Stretch your hands over the National Assembly and say, in the name of Jesus, I stand not just as an honorable member or a senator. I stand with priesthood and I speak. Let the kingdom come within this fair. As a business person, don't just resume work tomorrow. No, everyone who is coming is in one of two kingdoms. You are not just there to buy and sell. Listen. We must develop a new value system. Let me encourage all of you who own schools here. I know there are a number of people here that own schools within this city and across this nation. I beseech you by the mercy of God, without any sense of fanatism, introduce programs that correct destructive beliefs. There are programs. It doesn't matter whether people write it in the exam or not. Let there be programs that help people. Honesty, morality, and conscience, spiritual growth, leadership, financial intelligence. Introduce this so that the children from infancy will begin to learn ethics of responsibility. And they grow to become people who will change society. And I pray that in the name of Jesus, God will empower people here. I know that God has helped people, but God will empower people that will set up quality leadership institutes. That a day will come is out of those institutes will enthrone kings within territories. Merely saying one day, you know, a society will change is just a joke. There must be programs and there must be intelligence applied to it. Have I wasted your time tonight? The seven mountains. Religion. God is helping us, we who are the servants of God. The mountain of family. This is one area that God has raised marvelous vessels like Pastor Kingsley. Oh yes. Oh yes. You cannot tell how many homes and how many lives have been put back in order because he honored that grace. What of politics? There are several politicians here. God is counting on you. Not just to be a fanatic, but to be a nation builder. To come up with perspectives that are referenced from scripture, that your presence there will ward off darkness. You can be an apostle in politics. Then media, arts and entertainment. We've discussed it here. Can I tell you this, my brothers and my sisters? When we talk about the revival that is coming, we're not necessarily just talking about crusades alone. The context of the move of God coming will not just be spiritual in that area alone. Civilization has evolved. God will have to bring people with intelligence. We're already there at the crusade grounds. Everybody will not be there. We will keep casting the devils and healing the sick. But in addition, we'll keep helping people who will rise. Everybody here is connected to a family somehow. Go back and begin to change that software. Be intentional. You are a father. Don't sit down and allow your children to learn anything and grow and just give them money and cars. That's not an inheritance. You are a politician. Make up your mind. Don't just leave and exhaust your tenure. Start mentoring others. Not just godfatherism, mentorship. Teach them the ethics of governance. You are a businessman, don't just, as we call it in Nigeria, the slang, chop alone. And don't just give people money. That's not the only thing they need. Most people don't need money. Most people need a transformed mind. Create a platform of four or five people and help them. The value of influence is that you are able to lift others with that platform God gives you. I must walk the walks of him that sent me while it is day. He leaves you with an assurance that the night cometh when no man will be able to walk again. But I tell you this, God has brought us to such a time as this. We must stand up and fight Babylon. We do not just fight with bows and spears alone. Number one, we fight by introducing the gospel to the system. First as a message. The more people are saved, the more God can find many men that he can use to promote his agenda. Number two, we must bring the ideology of the kingdom. We must translate the ideology of the kingdom into programs, including sociological programs, that the world can receive. Many of them will not receive it from a standpoint of fanatism. It must not be a Christian's program. It must come a value system referenced from scripture that is intentional about changing people. Three things you should never fight as I round up. Number one, do not fight the value of spiritual connection. You will lose in today's world. The strength of every man is in his spiritual connection. Number two, do not fight any opportunity to learn leadership. Leadership has nothing to do with titles. You must know how influence is produced. It is the key to making men buy into your ideologies. Number three, do not fight relationships. Be fruitful means be relational. Everything multiplies because of relationship. It is based on your relationship with the Holy Spirit that you grow. Number four, do not fight economy. Please do not fight economy. Do not fight economy. Don't go around saying all these people preaching prosperity. Be careful. I know there are imbalances, but don't join the devil in misleading believers. A territory that is not economically empowered will be the territory that serves. There is a dimension of the gospel that requires economic empowerment. And I know that God is going to raise people. I'm unashamed about it. Your heart must not be there. Your heart will be with Jesus. And then he will give you resources that are equivalent to the resources of a nation. And you will do wonders. As for me, I made a vow and a covenant with God that as a spiritual leader, I will not just lead a people who are passionate towards God, signs and wonders, miracles, that's wonderful. But in addition to that, I believe in influence. And then inculcating value systems that can transform society. Abuja and this nation and this continent is too small. If God can find people enough who are connected spiritually, understand leadership, people who understand this kingdom networking, and then people who are economically empowered, this will be Satan's nightmare. This will also be the nightmare of the Antichrist system. Are you ready to pray? Father, let your kingdom come. Lift your voice and pray. Let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come. Palo sada brende gebalako shabradiska de behasiata. Let your kingdom come. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now we understand the motivation behind the ills in our lives, ills in our society, ills in family. That more than just the things that happen, more than crime and decadence and cultism and corruption, there is a spiritual problem that must be addressed. The spiritual problem, number one, is rejecting Jesus and rejecting his value system. And that has come because of a programming, a mindset fortified by demon spirits called the Antichrist system. It's a Babylonian strategy. Babylonian here means it's a spiritual context. Lift your voice and pray. We are that generation that will not bow. In the name of Jesus, yet we will rise. We will excel and represent the purposes of the kingdom because of our presence in this city. Advancement of all sorts will find expression because of our presence in this nation, in governance, in politics. Go ahead and pray. We decree and declare in the name of Jesus, the Christ of God. It may take time, but we submit to the training. It may take time, but we submit ourselves to the dealing. This apostolic and prophetic order of kingdom advance. Are you praying? Hallelujah. Now, please listen. It is because of the existence of this system that he gave us power over and power against. It will take more than just advice. It will take more than words to subdue this demonic influence that has followed families and has followed individuals. The last prayer and we're done. Father, the level of grace I need for this season, grant it unto me. The level of grace that is required, that in and through my life the powers of darkness are dislodged from the life of my children, from the life of my husband, from the life of my wife, my business. In the name of Jesus, I obtain that engracing. Go ahead and pray. It takes power. This is the kingdom of power. Demonic forces are real. Oppressions of darkness are real. You don't just need power to solve spiritual problems. You need power to solve political problems. You need power to solve economic problems. You need power to solve family problems. You need power to solve sociological problems. To solve employment, unemployment problems.
Elohim Adonai, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Elohim Adonai, thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Hallelujah. Please don't miss next week. I'm going to be sharing something after the miracle service, I'll be sharing something powerful. The next series that we're getting into, we're going to be dealing with the kingdom. And God is going to be showing us a lot of things. You will see the predictability of territorial transformation. that it is not very difficult to transform a territory. It looks hard only because of the complication of the men that are there. As many as there are students in different universities, you can predict the graduation of the students. You can predict that medicine, whether it's in ABU or UNILAG or whatever university, because there is a common program. Someone in Lagos does not have to come down to University of Abuja to be a graduate of medicine. Once he has the program there, right from where he is, he can change. It's not whether people are living in Abuja or Lagos, wherever. Once we can find the content methodically arranged that transforms people, everybody, it doesn't matter what church you now go to. I'm praying that you will get to that time where you don't have to go to specific churches to know you are secured. That at least any major church you can sit down and know, like a university, that I'm still safe there. That two people from different churches can talk kingdom and know that it was the same curriculum that was used to build us. God's idea is not to have everybody follow one man of God. No. Mm-mm. It will not get the job done. It may show that the individual is successful, but the job will not be done. God's idea is to see that his value system is represented everywhere, so that believers don't have to go too far to find him. Everywhere. From family, you find it there. Business, you find it everywhere. You can find his value system. I pray for you in the name of Jesus that this truth you have learned, let it speak over your life this week. In the name of Jesus Christ. Please keep standing, everyone. We have just a minute. We will always do this for as long as we live. Let's minimize movement. Very quickly, in 1 or 2 minutes, there are people here. You've heard me talk about two kingdoms, the kingdom of Satan, darkness, and the kingdom of God's dear son. You are here and you are saying, Apostle, whilst listening to you, the Holy Ghost began to speak to me that it's important I make this commitment for Jesus. Or you are here and you are saying, I've given my life to Jesus, but I need a genuine renewal. This is home for you. If you belong to any of these categories and you following online also, all the overflows down to the basement, outside, doesn't matter where, I'm going to ask those who are inside here and around the balcony, just make your way. We're going to start clapping for them. Please, you want to make Jesus Lord of your life. Don't sit down and wait for anybody. He brought you here. God bless you. Let's celebrate them as they come. Let's celebrate them as they come. Run to Jesus. Koinonia, is this the best you can do? Allow them to come to Jesus. This can be the beginning of a new and a genuine journey. A journey to transformation. A journey to kingdom relevance. Celebrate them. They are still coming. Celebrate them. They are still coming. God bless you. God bless you. Apostle, I'm not sure if I'm saved. I think I love Jesus, but I'm not sure. Join them. Join them very quickly if you are not sure. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Join them very quickly. Are they still coming? We have just a minute or two left. Very quickly. God bless you. 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 Now, listen. It matters that souls are saved through our lives. Soul winning is not a church thing. You can win souls anywhere at all. Are we together? Thank you so much for all of you who are in front here, those following from any nation, watching from every whatever television station you are connecting to, and then by way of internet. Please join in this prayer if you want to make Jesus Lord of your life. All those in the overflows outside, just stand in faith as we pray this prayer. Please lift your hands to Jesus if you can. Those in front, say this after me. Let it be very loud and very clear. Say, Lord Jesus. One more time, say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you that you are the Son of God. Tonight, I have heard your word. I make Jesus my Lord, my Savior, and my King. I declare that the power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken
over my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I also receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. And I declare that I reign in life. Amen. Keep your hands lifted. Father, we present to you these ones that you died for. It's an honor to lead them to Jesus. Someone help this woman. She didn't pray that prayer. Anybody help her? And you can just help her. Just speak to her. Just lead her in the prayer. Our time is gone. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for these precious people. And we declare in the name of Jesus that the grace to live victorious Christian lives, may that grace be released upon you now. I decree and declare by the power of the Holy Spirit that everything that is not of God, let it live your life now. I introduce you to the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the Word. And I declare from today, by the power that has raised from the dead, the grace to go forward ever and backward never. May that grace come upon you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Welcome to God's family. Welcome to Koinonia. In the name of Jesus. God bless you. Thank you very much. Please, I'd like you to follow the counselors. They are waving the placard. Let's celebrate them as they go. All of you in concert. Please, this way. Praise the name of the Lord. Just to announce to you by God's grace that next week here in Abuja is our miracle service for the month of July. Amen. As always, please don't come alone. Come early. There is serious destiny business to be done on that day. And come with your prayer requests. Invite as many who need a touch from God. There are people who are trusting God for all kinds of miracles. Invite them. God has anointed us. He's granted the grace to be able to represent his purposes on that wise. The Lord bless you. The Lord increase you. After the grace, do well to greet one another. And please make sure that you are careful while you walk down the aisle so that you do not injure yourselves. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us now and forevermore. Amen. God bless you and see you on Sunday.